Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Today is a significant day. Every day is a significant day, but I really believe today is a significant day for the Gospel Center. Over the last few weeks, the Lord's been laying on my heart the importance of rekindling a pioneering spirit. You know, it's 40 years ago this year that the Christian Gospel Center incorporated itself as a Pentecostal church here on the South Coast. 40 years is a significant time. It's a generation. And out of the blue, the Gospel Center came forward and they established a church, a Pentecostal church at that, in a time where people were looking sideways at Pentecostal churches and wondering what was going on with this new type of faith in God, and would they last, and who are this bunch of wackies, and let's go and check them out and let's see what they're on about. And God began to grow this place. And I believe it's no mistake that God brought the elders of the church and the people, members of the church, in that time when they bought this property with a prophetic word, but prophetic insight about the impact a church like this could make on a community like ours. Now, we're talking, you know, over 30 years ago when the church bought this property. I was going to do some research and find out when they actually bought this property, but they looked at the Lutheran Center at the top of the hill when it was a milk factory about to close down, and, you know, they looked around, and God brought them to this site here, and it was a pretty ugly site from what I remember. The building was divided into flats. So people were living here in accommodation. There was a marshy swamp down there where that beautiful lawn is now. And it must have looked pretty ordinary, with rusty car bodies and dead dogs and cats and young teenagers going down there at night with their slug guns, shooting ducks and catching rabbits and all that sort of thing. Because if you look back that long ago, Victor Harbour, even though it was only, you know, 40-odd years ago, this part of Victor Harbour was a quiet little spot. It was out of the way. It wasn't anywhere near the center of the town. But God had a plan for this site for his kingdom. God had a vision that he imparted into the eldership and into the leadership at that time to build kingdom on this site. And I praise God for their insight. I praise God for their commitment. I praise God for their ability to see what no one else could see and buy this place and look at the development over the years. You know, I was looking at some drawings the other day of some prospective facades for this church, hand-drawn, back in the days, pre-computer, where the man, Doug James, who was a graphic artist, drew out this picture that Pastor Murray had given me for the front of the building and hand-drew every brick across the front of the facade of the building. Hand-drew the cars out the front and the pavement and the signage and all that sort of thing. Because God had placed a vision on Pastor Murray's heart to reface and redecorate this house for the glory of God. And Barry and Judy have been around probably longer than anyone else in the church, and they could testify to how many renovations and additions and re-renovations and add-ons this place has had over the years. But praise God, we have a facility here that is now welcoming to our community. It's an open door for people to come and meet for a whole variety of reasons. But as I was praying about this, as I was talking to God about this, he said, but wait, there's more. There's the best yet to come. I really believe that with all my heart. And I want to look past a building program. Everyone says, well, you know, the building program is going to attract people. No, it's not. The vision that God has laid in my heart to establish a bigger facility for community is a God-given vision imparted in my heart to cast across this church community and for you to cast across your sphere of influence and your circle of influence and impart the people that we're actually building a kingdom. We're not building a building per se. And so this morning, if you can open your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 11, I just want to share some thoughts this morning about rekindling a pioneering spirit. Hallelujah. How many know you can't be settled for too long before you want to change things? My wife's a great one for that. She'll look at a house plan. She said, if this was my house, I'd knock that wall out and shift that there and put that over there. This was my garden, I'd take that out and put that. I'm going, honey, couldn't you just enjoy what you build? Couldn't you just enjoy what you create? No, I'm thinking about taking more lawn space and putting that there and shifting the vegetable garden from there to there. And you know, when I look at that, when I honestly look at that, that's the God creativity heart operating through her to create on top of what already has been given. Amen? So if you're in Genesis chapter 11 this morning, I want to start off in the first couple of verses. And it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one accent and mode of expression. And as they journeyed eastward, they found a plain or valley in the land of Shinar, and they settled. Everyone say they settled? And they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. So they had brick for stone and slime or bitumen for mortar. And they said, let us build us a city. Let us build us a city and a tower whose top reaches into the sky, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the whole earth. I want you to look at that verse 4 in your Bibles this morning. God's plan was for mankind to go forth, multiply, and replenish just the Garden of Eden, just the immediate surrounds, the whole earth. Are we on the same page this morning? And here comes these people 340 years after the flood of Noah, and they come to this place and they said, let us settle, let us dwell here, let us build us a city and a tower whose top reaches into the sky, and let us make a name for ourselves. You know, that struck me around the ears really heavily the other day. That we could build a Christian gospel center, a ministry to the lost, based on us. A come look at us sort of attitude. Bring all the other churches in. Show them what we can do. And God said, no. See what I said to Abram. Come over the next chapter. Genesis chapter 12. Beginning at verse 1, now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, you'll be a dispenser of good things to others. I, God says, will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. There's a pioneering spirit in everyone. We don't wear the same clothes year in, year out. We eventually trade them in on new ones. We don't drive the car year in, year out. We eventually change our cars. For some of you, you've changed houses regularly. But for all of us, we're still not in the same house we were raised in as children. I don't think so anyway. Dennis might be an exception. No, because you moved out for a while. But God has got something on this house, I believe, that's taking us out of this place of being settled and building a name for ourselves. He's shaking us, he's moving us into our future, and he's unsettling what is settled in order to rekindle that pioneer spirit in us. I've been spending a lot of time with God, a lot of time in the Word about what this all means. I just want to share some of those thoughts with you this morning. And it's interesting how God brings stuff together when you start to spend time with Him. When you distract yourself from the distractions, when you extract yourself from the distractions, when you sit down quietly with God and say, God, do you want to speak to me? Because I've found that quite often we're talking to God all the time. Monologue, 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 monologue. And God's going, can I get it? Let me have a word to you. The one thing I've discovered is that I need to make the decision to get myself away to hear from God. To shut down my phone, to turn off my technology, to close the door, get completely away from the office space where I'll be distracted. And say, God, speak to me. And I started to do a bit of research into the greats in ministry, not just in the Word, but since time began, about men and women that have just forged their way into the kingdom and for the kingdom. People like Evan Roberts, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you know, Charles Finney, Catherine Kuhlman, all those men and women of God who've said, you know what? I'm not happy just being settled in ho-hum. I don't want to just stay where I've always been. I know there's more. And interesting enough, in one of my emails that I got from a leadership magazine, there was this quote by Christine Kane. She said, life is too short, the world is too big, and God's love is too great to live ordinary. Do you agree with that this morning? That life is too short, the world is too big, and God's love is too great to live ordinary. So I began to petition the Lord to raise up some true pioneers. Men, women, couples, families who are not willing to take no for an answer. Men and women that are prepared to go the extra mile without complaining. Men and women of God who would long to make a way for others to follow where there seems to be no way. Men and women who care enough about others and care more about others than they do themselves. Men and women who are willing to lay down their lives for someone whom they don't even know. God's the divine setup God. Where there seems to be stumbling blocks, where there seems to be blockages that the world would put in your path, God is an amazing stepping stone God. He will make a way where there is no way. Amen? Just the other night, and I shared this Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, Tuesday night on our bakery run, we have people come in and they pick up bakery items. Not many people turned up, except out of the blue, this young 24-year-old boy by the name of Ryan walked in the door. And he said, what are you guys doing here? To which I replied, well, what are you doing here? And he went on to tell me that he'd been sent here by a lady from another church because life's a bit tough for him at the moment. Things are quite hard for him. He didn't know where to turn. He didn't know who to talk to. So this lovely Christian lady who's his neighbour sends him in here. She said, A, you'll find some food there, and B, you'll find someone who's prepared to talk to and listen to what you have to say. So for 40-odd minutes, Ryan pours out his heart, pours out his life, in church and outside of church. He talks about the heartache of his parents splitting. He talks about the breakup that's happened with his recent girlfriend that he had. He talked about the hardship of finding work. And while he's doing this, he's eating food and gathering food to take with him. And God reminded me that it was only last week, he said, do not despise the place of small beginnings. You see, a crowd starts with one person walking into the event. A crowd of people in Jesus' day was the first man, woman, or child, the first family that walked in to hear what Jesus had to say. And it's like this drawing, it's like this amazing drawing of people towards God. I believe with all my heart there's so many people waiting to hear the gospel about Jesus, the good news of Christ. Perhaps they've never heard about Jesus in the right sense. Perhaps they've never opened a Bible or been to church or heard a Christian song. There's so many people that need their lives saved from a life of darkness and despair into a place of light and hope. So many more people that need to come and build the house and build the kingdom of God. So many places where our faith, your faith, my faith, our faith, needs to be released. So many places where signs, wonders, and miracles need to explode. And so briefly, I'll come back to the story of our redevelopment, because it's far more than just building a building. On Monday last week at the council meeting, it was decided unanimously that the council would forego their development, their $8 million blowout the budget development of the town hall, and open themselves up to hear from other expressions of interest to people, from people who might be able to build a community centre that benefits a broader community. Places like the Gospel Centre. And in the article and in the minutes of the council meeting, the Gospel Centre runs high in their agenda. You see, God's on our case to build His kingdom for His glory, not for ours. On Wednesday afternoon, I was approached by the chairman of the local Victor Harbour Action Group, who doesn't particularly like God and doesn't particularly like church, but loves what we do here. And he brought along with him a local television producer who happens to be setting up an internet television station to highlight things across the Fleurieu. He's a former television producer. He knows how to operate cameras and sound equipment. And he said, we would like to do a feature article on our television station about the Christian Gospel Centre and its new building. But we would like you to tell us what the vision behind the vision is. So God is starting to open up doors and open up ways of reaching people in our community through a building program. Before the first shovelful of dirt is turned over, God's name is going to be out there. We're not doing this because it's a brainchild of Pastor Lou. We're doing this because this is the vision given to this house, to you, to me, to us, to all those who join us, to build a community centre that just happens to have a church in it. And I was talking to someone even yesterday, and I said, so this drawing you've got out on your wall, is this a could be? Is this a maybe? Or is this something that you're actually just going to fluff up and make it close to that? I said, you know what? If you look closely at the drawings, we add another 500 seats just out there behind this wall. And they started to talk to me about how this would come to pass and what was happening. And friends, can I tell you today, I'm excited in my spirit about the way God is bringing this all together rapidly. Rapidly. That our local council will be prepared to put in $1 to $2 million to make the event work. That one of the managing directors of a civil engineering group in Adelaide will be prepared to come down to Victor Harbour and talk through and support not only how we're going to build the building, but how we might be able to get money to do it. That our mayor would send me regular updates on grant monies that are available to help us fund this building program that seems impossible in the natural. And yet the possibility is there in the spirit realm. God will bring His plan together if people will work in unity together. Psalm 133 says, where my people what? Dwell in unity. What's the rest of the scripture say? There I will command, notice that word, command, the blessing, life, forevermore. You know what the seven last words of a dying church are? The last seven words of a dying church, we've always done it this way. We've settled. We've lulled ourselves into this sleep mode where God's just going to bring people in and we don't have to do anything about it except enjoy ourselves in church. Can I encourage us all today that the vision that God has laid on my heart is not for me. It is for you. It is for the people that will come to this church in the future. And it is for those people in our community that don't yet know Christ. Now I want to encourage you this morning that God usually imparts a vision into one man, into one woman, whether it be over a church, whether it be over a business, whether it be over a ministry, whether it be over a department, whether it be over a household. And God's plan is then to round up people, to draw people into that vision, to make it happen. Remember when Jesus called the disciples? The Bible says, and from them Jesus chose the 12 who would be what? With him. But it wasn't just talking about physically with him, to go on the expeditions, to go on the ministry trips, to see all the signs, the wonders and the miracles. But he chose those that would be with him in the vision that the Father had laid upon his heart to build kingdom here on earth. And that's what God wants for this house. There is a vision over this house, not a vision over this man. But the vision requires support. I'm not asking for a special offering now, so don't get nervous. I don't believe we're going to be in debt over this building. I believe there's going to be a supernatural transfer of funds from a wide variety of sources that's just going to make this happen for his name's glory's sake. Amen? We may have to do little bits and pieces, but I think the majority of what God wants to do, what God wants to do on this site, he will provide. If it's God's will, he'll foot the bill. Remember I said that many, many moons ago. But to affect the future, we have to shake up the present. You want something to change in your life? It starts right now. Amen? If you're going to eat Subway for lunch today, you can't stay where you are for the rest of the day. If you want a new job to work in tomorrow, you've got to make plans to work towards that new job tomorrow. So it is with the kingdom. We can sit, we can settle, we can dwell here till Jesus comes back. But that is not going to build his kingdom. That is not going to make his name great. That is not going to take the message of good news, of great news, of awesome way of living to our community. Again, did a funeral here yesterday afternoon. Very rarely do Saturday funerals. A young guy, 1 year older than me, passed away 5 days before his birthday. About to turn 64 yesterday. His body's in the coroner's. It's a long, not a long weekend, but we've got a public holiday in the middle of the week. Nobody's sure whether his body's going to be released for the funeral service here yesterday or not. But it was his birthday. And the family thought no better way than to celebrate his life than have his farewell service on his birthday. I was probably the only one, but I prayed. I said, Lord, if that's the way it's meant to be, then Lord, I supernaturally ask your favour to release that body from coroners so the family can say goodbye to their husband, to their dad, to their granddad on his birthday. Thursday afternoon late, we get the phone call. It's been released. Service is going to take place on Saturday. What a great thing it was. With about the same number as we got here this morning and only two believers in the house. Jesus is Lord, prominently. Oh, three. Josh was here as well. Sorry, Josh. You, me, and the other one. Jesus is Lord, prominent. God begins to move on the people. As he leaves the service, people sing happy birthday to him. And instead of having just tea and coffee and biscuits, they have this massive, big birthday cake. Happy birthday, Joe. The best blessing overflowed because there's cake left over for us this morning. But you know what? There's a presence in this house that goes beyond lingering. It goes from lingering to be impermeating. It permeates people's spirit. It touches their lives. I have people crying. Thank you so much for what you've done today. You can't believe the significance of what you've done. I'm just a humble servant. I don't get up here and preach a gospel message to them. I don't get up here and pray in tongues over them. I simply deliver God's love through the words I speak and the authority He's given me. I don't want to brag on us, but we're one of the only churches on the South Coast that moves on the Word of God and the anointing therein. But there's more. There's more. Come with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. You may not always agree with me. I admit, I don't always get things right. But God wants to build His house based on people just like you and just like me. I need to go to Joshua, not Judges. Joshua chapter 13. Excuse me. Verse 1. Just in case you're looking for an out this morning. Now Joshua was old and gone far in his years. The Amplified says he's over 100. And the Lord said to him, "You've grown old and gone far in years, and very much of the land still remains to be possessed." You've grown old. You've gone far in your years. Put your feet up. Relax. Jesus is coming back soon. It doesn't say that anywhere in my Bible. But again, scriptures like this, they jump out at me when I'm reading the Word. I love the story of Joshua. I read the book of Joshua on a regular basis. I've never read this one in light of what God is saying over us today. You've grown old, you've gone far in years, and very much of the land still remains to be possessed. I'm not growing old. I make that declaration today. I may be growing older, but I'm not growing old. While there's still life in me, while I'm still breathing, while I'm still here on earth, I'm going to declare Jesus' kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I want us to see today that we are the workers of God's word. You and I. We don't need badges. We don't need titles. One of the biggest bugbears in my life is everyone lately is an apostle. Every church advertising. You know, the apostle you know who is going to be here this Sunday. The apostle of worship is going to lead us in worship. The apostle of the word is going to lead us in an apostolic prophecy and the word of God. Jesus, when He was on earth, did not go around saying, "I'm the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, Jesus Christ." He never declared Himself to be God. He said, "I am the Son of God, and I am the Son of Man." Friends, He was satisfied just being a son. Are you satisfied this morning being just a son, just the daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Just satisfied? I shouldn't say it that way, should I? And yet God, I believe, wants us to act and operate just like His Son Jesus did when He walked planet Earth. He wants you to enjoy. He wants you to revel. He wants you to just stand in awe of your status, your standing of being called a son or daughter of the living God. Jesus never said through the prophet Joel, "In the last days I will pour out my spirit on all the apostles and all the prophets." He said, "I will pour out my spirit on what? All flesh." And then He went on to talk about His sons and His daughters. You may think you're ungifted. You may think you're unworthy. You may think you're not ready. But friends, we live in a world where everyone's got to have a name, everyone's got to have a position, and everyone's got to have a title. God is more interested in relationship. The fivefold ministry are definitely gifts of the body of Christ. We need leadership. We need structure. We need people that will instill into people just like us. You see, the moment I become unteachable is the moment I become non-teachable. I've got to sit under teaching like you've got to sit under teaching. I've got to glean from the Word of God. I've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. I've got to have men and women of God speak into my life in order for me to grow. Fivefold ministry is designed to equip people like us to do the work of the ministry. So what's the definition of a pioneer? According to Webster's Dictionary, a pioneer is one who goes before to remove obstacles for the purpose of preparing the way for others. They are defined as a leader, trailblazer, forerunner, a pathfinder. You know, quite often when Pastor Rob and I are out doing our, you know, got nothing else to do in our life, we'll go for a drive days. On the way to somewhere doing something, quite often as you leave Victor Harbour, as you will know, you drive through rural land. Quite often we're taken to regions outside of Victor Harbour and we're driving through the Mallee or up through the Eyre Peninsula or something like that. And I often make the comment, I wonder what this land would have looked like when the pioneers came through. What they had to do to get a house built in a spot where you see the ruins of an old farmhouse. What they had to do with water before the windmills, before the electric pumps, before the bores were sunk, before dams were dug. And I stop and wonder if without the pioneers, this nation wouldn't be the nation it is. Without people trailblazing, going, you know what? I love living in Sydney, but what's on the other side of those mountains? I love to have people around me, so on my journey, why don't you come with me? I used to love watching Western movies as a boy and seeing the early pioneers, and they'd grab a wagon or two and a few donkeys and a couple of cows, and they'd round up a group of people and say, you know what, there's got to be something better out there. There's got to be something that's going to provide for me and for the generations to follow. And they trailblazed, they pioneered, they went to places where people have never been. And you and I have got that pioneer spirit. It might be deep down inside your very being, but it's in there. That creativity, like John said to me the other day, there's something burning inside of me, Pastor Luke. I feel like I should do something. And he started to pour out all these ideas. Pour them. Why? Because God's working on him. To take him from where he is into something bigger for the kingdom. It's not about building John. It's not about making his name great. It's not about developing him. It's about building a kingdom. You know, to Bill and Tony, who work as pioneers out in our, what is now a garden. It was a mess. It was unkempt. The winter time was full of yellow flowers, Tony. Don't you give me beautiful. But they've pioneered to build the garden into something that's presentable. And the amount of comments, not only do the boys get themselves, but I get, that Lisa gets. Whoever's doing the gardening, they're doing a great job. Or I see those two boys out there, day in, day out, working and toiling and building the garden. What was bare, what was barren, what was unusable is now flourishing. And the same with this house. What was bare, which was underutilized, the pioneers of this house decided we could build a church here. We could gather people in this place. We could make this place home where people can come during the week and get food and get clothing and get counseling and get encouragement and get prayer. Just a listening ear. Just for someone to talk to. Just for someone to give a new direction or a clear direction. One of the young workers that was working out here in the back last term, with Alex, the student from Victor Harbour Art of Seven School, just taken on a new job. She said to me the other day, she said, I'm not really happy with my new job because I know there's more to do. She said, can I come in and share my dream with you? She doesn't come to this church. I'm not sure whether she's even a Christian. But people are looking for people like you and I that then come in and unload their dreams and their visions into. They come into a place where they know there's more to come. And if we haven't got that within us, how are we going to encourage them about what they could be doing? We need a bit of pioneering spirit. Because otherwise we just remain like those people in Genesis 11. We get comfortable. Joshua chapter 12, it lists all of Israel's great victories, all their accomplishments under the leadership of Joshua. But they still didn't possess all that God had for them. And so in that passage in Joshua 13:1, God speaks to Joshua and says, "You are very old, but there are still very large areas of land to be taken over." God wants us as a church to know our purpose. And he wants us to live out that purpose with passion. But he also wants us to understand that our purpose is beyond where we are right now. We're not there yet. I don't think we're even close. I want to see the day where all these strangers just start walking in our doors, whether it be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Sunday. I want to get phone calls to the elders on a Saturday saying, "I'm at your church door, nobody's there." That's how I worded that to the elders. None of us have arrived in the fullness of what God's got for us. Friends, there's more. But it will take a pioneer spirit to get to where we need to be. You see, pioneers are people who enjoy taking risks. They live on the edge of what is civilized and right and proper and push the boundaries and push the limits and prefer things that are not quite the same every day so they can keep moving forward. On the other hand, there are settlers. They thrive on stability, security, predictability. But you and I, as pioneers, need to be asking questions to God. Why, God? Why have you laid that on my heart to do that, God? Yes, God, I'll do it, but I'm like any kid, God. I want to ask the why. I don't want to place my future on my present. I don't want to place my future on my past. But I want the energy, I want the strength, I want the guidance, I want the wisdom, I want the resourcefulness of heaven to step into my future and preserve the past. We have a tendency to be either settlers or to be pioneers. And yet there's people that can be both. I've shared many times, and excuse me if I'm repeating the story, but I was born and raised and lived in my family home until I got married. That was the only time I moved out. Dad made the bricks to build the house, to get married, to have his family. And he only moved out in his early 80s when he moved into a nursing home. That same house. We were settled. We were comfortable. Mom and Dad raised four kids in that house. They enclosed the veranda to make another double bedroom so the boys could have their own room instead of sleeping in the room with the girls. Girl jams. Developed a chook yard so eggs could be fresh, so meat could be raised. Grew veggies to offset the cost of the greengrocer's bill. Grew fruit trees to bring in the seasonal fruits into the house. One house. Moved out when I got married. Didn't invite Pastor Robin to come and live with us when we got married. No, no, no. On the other hand, Pastor Robin did lots of moves in her early years. From this house to that house, this house to that house. And I said to her before we got married, "Don't expect us to move as many times as you've moved." One should guard their words very carefully. Because every time I think we got settled, God had a plan. Every time we got comfortable and said, "This is great, we can live here forever," God would say, "Really? Let me show you the more." And I know our forefathers in this house have looked at the size of this auditorium and said, you know what? Instead of this being the back wall here, instead of being this a lovely veranda out here that you can look out over the swamp on a summer evening, let's move the back wall of the church to here. Let's knock out the glass windows and the vessel block walls back there. Let's make it an open space. Let's add some office space there and take the pastor out of what is now the smallest room in the house, that grotty little vessel block ice box, which is now no longer like that. Let's build an office that's worthy for a man of God to study and counsel and pray with people. Let's build a school and have a Christian input into the community. Let's open a cafe. Let's begin to feed people. Set up a counseling service. We look at historically what this place has done, and we realize that God has always got a plan of growing and expanding. Now, I know ministries come and go. I understand that. I know purpose shifts sometimes. But we're right in the middle of what God wants to do with us. And so today, I want to ask you. No, I don't want to ask you. I want to invite you to join with myself and the elders of this church to bring this vision to pass. To make this house a great house for God. To make this house a worthy house for people to come. What can I do? How can I help? Come and see me. Come and tell me about your giftings, your talents. Come and tell me about all the time you don't have in your schedule, and I'll find you a job. I don't know whether you ever look when you come into this place, or you just walk in and take your seat and say, happy days, it's Sunday again. In order to grow the house has got to be attractive. I serve an excellent God. What about you? He's the God of excellence. He didn't tack us on the end of his creation and say, well, man and woman, I guess that completes the project. He said, let us make man in our image. And he created man and woman out of his image. And he breathed the very breath of life, the very breath of himself into that creation which is you and which is me. And he said, go forth and multiply. Take dominion. Have authority. That's what this world is asking for now, not in a communistic, socialistic way, but out of the love of Christ to reach out as a church, one agenda, one vision, one God, one Holy Spirit, moving into a community with one thing in mind. Build God's kingdom. Now, I said earlier, I'm not always right. I don't always have it all together. And that's why Jesus said to his disciples, those who will be with me will build. He started off with the 12, didn't he? In Luke, he sends out the 70. Talks about the multitudes on the day of Pentecost, 120. But prior to that, there was about 500 followers of Jesus. He had his three closest. He worked closely with them, but he broadened his scope. He said, I understand the kingdom, and I want you to understand the kingdom. Will you be with me? I believe one of the keys to building this house is working together in unity. You might think we work in unity, but a lot of rippling going on. A lot of things that are just not right. I believe we've come to that time in the history of this church. If we don't begin to move on that unity now, God's going to take his hand off it, and he's going to move that anointing somewhere else. I don't want to be caught out without the presence of God. Next week, I just want to go a little bit deeper on this. I want to bring in examples out of the Bible, out of true life situations, and share with you what that looks like as pioneers, to break out of the barrier of being comfortable, of being settled, of just building stuff for ourselves. And we're all guilty of it. My ministry, my anointing, my gifting, all those sort of things are not yours at all. imparted into your life by God, who graciously gives us all ability